this morning, as he does every week at the 10:30 Mass, Father Nathan pauses for a moment before the first reading and asks the little kids to come forward. And they come from the pews and to the front of the church, walking or running or trotting along with wonderful childlike enthusiasm. And then a dedicated group of people herd them off to another room to learn something about the faith. And later they come back happily with a picture or a paper or something. And I really enjoy seeing that because, like most of you, I love children. My wife would say that the reason for that is because I'm still a child myself. And to some extent, I guess that's true, but I love seeing their little wide-eyed faces. I especially love the babies. I never cease to wonder at the miracle of these little lives coming into the world. And I hope I never lose that sense of wonder. One of the great joys of being a deacon is that I have the opportunity to baptize those little babies. Over my years as a deacon, I've had the honor of baptizing over 300 children. I can hardly believe it. And at every one of those baptisms, according to the baptismal rite of the church, I've poured water over their heads three times in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And now that I'm here at this parish, what an honor to use those same words to baptize children at the beautiful fonts, both here and at St. Joseph. The very fonts where generation after generation of your families, and even many of you, have been baptized with those same words. Today I'm emphasizing those words used in baptism because they're so much part of the gospel today, but also because this is the day when we celebrate the Holy Trinity. And I have the privilege to speak to you about that great mystery of our triune God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. We refer to the Trinity as a mystery, and it's referred to in that way because it can't be fully understood by the human mind. But that doesn't mean we don't know anything about it. In fact, in the first centuries, the church has been developing its understanding of the Trinity. Here's some of what the Catechism has to say about it. Now, most of this you probably already know, but it's a refresher. First, the Trinity is one. We don't believe in three gods, but in one God in three persons, each person being holy and entirely God. Second, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are truly distinct from each other. In other words, in the words of the Church Fathers, God is one but not solitary. It is the Father who generates, the Son who is begotten, and the Holy Spirit who proceeds. What the Catechism is telling us is that in order to comprehend the Trinity, you have to set aside normal math and use the heavenly math, where 1 plus 1 plus 1 equals 1. Because the divine unity is Trinity. The third and most interesting of the Catechism's statements on the Trinity, and the one I want to explore with you a little, is that the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are relative to one another. Here's what the Catechism says. Because it does not divide the divine unity, the real distinction of the persons from one another resides solely in the relationships which relate them to one another. Sounds pretty technical, doesn't it? Pretty theological. But this statement is at the very heart of our Catholic faith and is a precious truth. Here's what it's saying. There is a relationship within our one God, a relationship between the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And in the light of what the Apostle John tells us, that God is love, we realize that the relationship that exists among the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit is one of a constant exchange of love, a communal sharing of love. The unity of God is a perfect communion of persons. Imagine for a moment the beauty of that sort of love. The individuality of each of the three persons of God is maintained, while each one shares totally in the life of the other two. Pope John Paul II spoke of this relationship as like a relationship of a love within a family, the relationship of a family absorbed in a loving embrace. And we see glimpses of it in that way when we think of the love that was shared by Jesus, Mary, and Joseph. If we look deeply into the love of the Holy Family, we see each of them sharing their love for each other, totally absorbed in the love for and from each other. What a potent example of the love shared within the Trinity, and what a perfect example of the love we're to share as members of God's Holy Family. And we have glimpses of that same sort of love in our own lives too, don't we? In Catholic marriage, we speak of a man and woman being united in such a way that even though they retain their own identity, they offer themselves to one another so fully that they mysteriously become one flesh. And there isn't a parent here who has not held their child in a holy embrace, knowing full well that they would pour out their own life for that child. We come close to understanding the Trinity when we understand loving that deeply. My friends, even though we can't now fully understand the mystery of the Trinity, we can gradually gain a clearer picture of that divine relationship of love. We can gain an understanding of it because we're invited into it. Think of it, the Trinity of divine persons invites us to journey through life into the perfect love that they share. The journey begins when we're baptized in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and continues in the most powerful way imaginable when we're invited to the Holy Eucharist. Listen carefully today. Today is at every Mass, Father Nation petitions the Father through the power of the Holy Spirit to make the body and blood of Christ truly present. How incredible that the God of all creation, the God of all the universe, invites us to take part in divine life and in divine love. The journey I'm speaking about, that we're invited into, this lifelong journey toward understanding the love of the Trinity and of accepting the desire of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit to share that divine love with each of us, is really a journey toward holiness, isn't it? And that journey continues far beyond the walls of this church. It's a journey toward infinite love, and we move forward in that journey with each act of kindness we show another person, with each consoling word to a person in pain. The journey toward participating in the holy embrace of the Trinity continues each time we courageously stand up for the rights of others, each time we pray for all people to live in peace. We understand the mysterious doctrine of the Trinity more clearly each time we live out the love of the Trinity by acting in faith, in hope, and in love. Now, some of you may be asking, especially those who are older, Deacon, for me, this journey through life, remaining faithful and trying to live a holy life, has been long and difficult. Tell me, where does the journey toward the Trinity lead us? Where does the journey end? And will our heavenly reward be worth everything when it's said and done? I can only tell you what I think. I think at the end of our journey, there will be an invitation. An invitation to unite ourselves in the perfect love of the Trinity. To share in their holy embrace. Think of it. An unimaginably joyful and loving embrace, not only with the three persons of the Holy Trinity, but with our dear ones who have gone before us, marked with the sign of faith, and with all those who will follow us. All of us united in the infinite love of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Think of it.